know how the Germans were bombing England? I mean, just every day. And Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give in. No matter the pressure. He said, we'll fight in France. He said, we'll fight on the land. We'll fight at sea. Never, never give up. And he said, never yield to pressure or to force. Never yield to force. So we as a church need to fight to the end. And there's too many people in the church who's given up and losing hope. And they think that what we're going through is hopeless. But now here's where all the religious cows are going to roll over and Baylor and everything else. You know, a lot of people are yelling retreat. You need to turn back and run. The fight, it's not worth fighting. There's no hope. Everything looks like everything that we come up with is getting shot down. Well, I had a friend. His name was Ben Kapuski. And he was in the 1st Marine Division in Korea at the Chosin Reservoir. And he said that when they were fighting, that they were in a running fight. And everybody was saying, retreat, retreat. And Oliver P. Smith, the Marine Corps general and the commanding officer of the 1st Marine Division during the Battle of the Chosin Reservoir, said, retreat, hell, we're just going to advance in a different direction. That's what the church needs to do. And Ben Kapuski talked about, he said, the odds were overwhelming. He said they were in summer fatigues. And he said, if you went to sleep, you froze to death. He said that the Chinese ran at them so hard. He said the first wave would have machine guns or weapons. The second waves would have sticks. And as we killed the first wave, they'd pick up the machine guns and the weapons. And he said, it was just overwhelming. He said that the enemy came at him so hard that he said, you literally could not walk without stepping on one of the enemy that they'd killed. So it don't matter how hopeless it looks like it is, don't ever retreat. We can't afford to retreat. We've got to fight to the end. And the body of Christ gives up way too easy. When it gets hard, it may not be God's will. But like I said last week, you can't tell me that it's God's will for someone to be in charge of this nation who is for killing babies up to 9 months, who's for same-sex marriage, who's for every abomination that goes against God's word. You can't tell me that's God's will. And here's the thing. We can look at the Bible. Like I say, if you want to get encouraged, read Esther and Daniel. And that's what I'm going to read a lot today. Lauren put up Esther 3, 1 through 6. It says, I'm not even going to pronounce his name. Sometime later, King promoted over all the other nobles, making him the most powerful official in the empire. All the king's officials would bow down before Haman to show him respect whenever he passed by. For so the king had commanded. But Mordecai refused to bow down or show him respect. Then the palace officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, why are you disobeying the king's command? They spoke to him day after day, but he still refused to comply with the order. So they spoke to Haman about this to see if he would tolerate Mordecai's conduct, since Mordecai had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow down or show him respect, he was filled with rage. He had learned of Mordecai's nationality, so he decided it was not enough to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Instead, he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews throughout the empire. Okay, and then you can go to 8, Lauren. Then Haman approached the king and said, there's a certain race of people scattered throughout all the provinces of your empire who keep themselves separate from everyone else. Their laws are different from those of any other people, and they refuse to obey the laws of the king. So it is not in the king's interest to let them live. If this pleases the king, issue a decree that they would be destroyed, and I will give 10,000 large sacks of silver to the government administrators to be deposited in the royal treasury. And the king agreed, confirming his decision by removing his signet ring from his finger and giving it to Haman and the enemy of the Jews. The king said, the money and the people are both yours to do with as you see fit. So on April 17th, this is the New Living Testament. The king's secretaries were summoned, and a decree was written exactly how Haman dictated. It was sent to the king's highest office, the governors of the respective provinces, the nobles of each province, in their own scripts and language. The decree was written in the name of the king and sealed with his ring. Dispatches were sent swift by messengers all throughout the province of the empire, giving orders that all Jews, young and old, including women and children, must be killed and slaughtered and annihilated on a single day. And that was scheduled to happen March 7th of the next year. And the property of the Jews would be given to those who were killed. Okay. The thing about it is, it looked hopeless, didn't it? Looked like they had someone in charge that was going to destroy a whole nation. Does that seem familiar to what's going on right now? The left's not in charge right now. They want you to believe it, but they're not in charge. God's give his word. And God's word is God's not a man that he can lie. So his word's going to come true. Okay, Lauren, go to 4, 1 and through 3. When Mordecai learned about all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on burlap and ashes, and went out into the city, crying with a loud and bitter wail. He went as far as the gate of the palace, for no one was allowed to enter the palace gate while wearing clothes of mourning. And as the news of the king's decree reached all the provinces, there was great mourning among all the Jews. They fasted, wept, wailed, and many people laid burlap and ashes. Okay. That's what's went on in America. What's gone on? The deal? The steal. That's really what... The steal. But what has happened? The body of Christ has fasted and prayed. You think that makes any difference? Do you think just praying will make any difference? Yeah, a lot of people don't. But it does. Okay, Lauren, go to, in this one here, it's 5, 1 through 14. On the third day of the fast, Esther put on her royal robe. And I'll just, instead of reading, she put on her royal robes and she was supposed to go before the king. Because Mordecai said, you know, you need to go before the king. Because if you don't, the Jewish race is going to be wiped out. And so, they had fasted and prayed for 3 days. And she dressed in her royal robe, and she went before the king. But here was the thing about it. If she wasn't summoned by the king, it meant death. Okay? So she went and stood in the court deal, or in the foyer, you know, and he seen her. And he summoned her to him. But here's what the body of Christ has got to do. They've got to become like Esther. The body of Christ has got to get to the point where we don't consider our life, but we consider our nation. I mean, that's what she did. And she went before the king, and he, you know, he said, what can I do? And this is just my translation. You know, she said, will you and Haman come to a banquet? And she made she made a banquet, and they summoned Haman, and he came in and ate with her and the king. And then the king said, what do you want me to do? And she said, well, you and Haman come to the banquet again tomorrow, and I'll give you what my decree is. And so Haman, he left, and boy, he was feeling pretty big about himself. He went home, and he was telling about all of his riches and how much he had and stuff and how much power he had. And whenever he got home, he was telling his wife. So they made a scheme that they would take like a pole and put a sharpen it and impale Mordecai on it. Kill him. Impale him in his yard, in Haman's compound. And so he really, you know, he was really feeling big and good by himself. Well, for some reason, the king couldn't sleep that night. And he called for somebody to come and read to him. And they read the Book of Remembrance. See, that's what, whenever we give God his word, that's what we're doing. We're reminding him of his word and his covenant. Well, whenever they were reading the Book of Remembrance, and it was Esther that was reading it to him, and he found out that because of Mordecai, he was able to keep from being assassinated. Do you remember the story? Lord, you can kind of put them scriptures up there if you want while I'm telling it. So anyway, so he's telling about how Mordecai had saved his life. And so he thought about it that night, and then the next day, they summoned Haman to come back. And the king said, Haman, what should you do to a person who saved your life and done so much for you? Well, Haman thought, oh, he's talking about me. So he said, well, what I'd do, he said, I'd wrap a royal robe around him, and I'd give him the king's horse and have him ride up and down I'd have him lead him up and down the streets and decree that he's got the favor of the king and how he's to be exalted and stuff, and give, you know, just show him how much power he said. You know what the king said? Okay, Haman, hurry and go put that robe on Mordecai, the guy he was going to kill, and said, and get that horse, that best horse that I got, and you put him on there, and you lead him up and down the road. And you declare how much favor he's got with the Lord. So he did. And see, that's what's getting ready to happen right now. Don't look at what's going on. Remember, God knew the end at the beginning. This hasn't caught God by surprise. But what the body of Christ has got to do, they got to suck it up and stand their ground. We can't run like cowards when something comes up and doesn't work out like we think it's going to. Because, I mean, all throughout the Bible, we can see that there might have been a big army, but God said, hey, you got too many people. You tell the ones that's scared to stay home. Well, there's a bunch of them that's scared, and they're falling out. And then he said, you take your army down there to the brook, and you watch them drink, and the ones that get down and lap like a dog, you send them home, but the ones who cup their hand, we'll keep them. And he said, now we've got just the right amount, because now what will be done, people will know that God did it. So that's what the body of Christ has got to look at. Don't be moved by what, well, the deal at Texas, everybody thought, well, that's going to be the defining. Why would we be surprised that it didn't got shot down? Because if it would have happened like that, everybody said, well, see, Texas, God don't need Texas. God needs a remnant. He needs to get rid of the ones that are afraid, and he needs to get rid of the ones who's going to drink like a dog. And he needs the ones who's going to stand up and believe his word. So, whenever we look at the book of Esther, and you can go all throughout the Bible and you can look at things that looked impossible, but God always made them possible. So, it's never too late for God to turn things around. It's never even too hopeless, or it's never gone too far. Lord, where am I at? Am I at 6:13, or where am I at? Huh? Okay, go to 7, 1 through 10. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. And on this second occasion, while they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, "Tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom." Queen Esther replied, "If I found favor with the king, and it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people be spared. For my people and I have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. If we had merely been sold as slaves, I could remain quiet. For that would be too trivial of a matter to warrant disturbing the king." "Who would do such a thing?" the king demanded. "Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you?" Esther replied, "The wicked Haman, our enemy." Then the king jumped to his feet in rage and went out into the garden. Haman, however, stayed behind to plead for his life with Queen Esther, for he knew that the king intended to kill him. In despair, he fell on the couch where Queen Esther was reclining. Just as the king was returning from the palace garden, the king exclaimed, "Will he even assault the queen right here in the palace before my very eyes?" And as soon as the king spoke, his attendants covered Haman's face, signaling his doom. Then, whatever, one of the king's eunuchs said, "Haman has set upon a sharpened pole that stands 75 feet tall in his own courtyard and intended to use it to impale Mordecai, the man who saved the king from assassination." Then the king said, "Impale Haman on it." So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. That's Purim. That's what that's in the Bible. It calls Purim. What one intends for evil, God turns it for good. So here's the thing. Whenever we read what the Bible says, you know, whenever you're looking at, Queen Esther said, "We've been sold into slavery. We've been killed." Look at the children who are sold into slavery, sex trafficking, whatever. Look at all the babies who have been killed. Do you think the administration that are so-called saying they've won are going to be good for America? That's just what I'm talking about, Haman, what he had intended. That's what the left has intended for America. America cannot be blessed if we turn away from the things of God. But here's the thing. The Bible says, "If my people who are called by my name will repent, turn from their wicked ways and pray, I'll heal this land." We can't be moved by what it looks like right now. We got to stand firm on healing is taking place in this land. And what the prophets said, like I said before, not the prophets weren't wrong. There's so many prophets that says, you know, that Trump would win a second term. That America's greatest hours are yet to come. America would be saved. Well, here's the truth. Trump did win the election because the enemy can't prove that he didn't. There's so much fraud in the voting system or whatever that it can't, I mean, it is a fact that it wasn't run right. And here's the thing. God wants just judges, and he is a just judge. And here's what I pray. I pray that those judges stand up and do what's just. Because here's the thing. They'll be judged for the way they judge. The Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged. Well, they've been put in a position to judge. And whoever shot that down said he didn't want to be political, and I can't think of his name. But he will go down as the most political person there is. See, that they're trying to ride the fence. They're not statesmen. They don't care about this nation. What they are, they're politicians, and they'll move with every wind of change because they're thinking of their next 4 years. Like I say, when you ride the fence, your hind end gets sore. They're going to have to get off of it one day or another. But that's what this nation's come to. They've been afraid to make a decision because, well, if you don't agree with the left, you're going to be racist. Or if you come against same-sex marriage, you're going to be a homophobe or whatever. I don't care. I don't care what they say. What I care about, what's God's word say? Because I'm not going to answer to anyone in the left. I'm not going to answer to anyone in the government. They could come and arrest me today or tomorrow. I don't care. I'm not answering to them. When it's all said and done, I've got one person to answer to. And that's the way with all of us. We've been put on this earth for a reason and a special time, and that time is now. And it's not a time to waver. It's a time to stand fast on what God's word says and to know, just like in the Queen Esther's case, it looked like all the Jewish people were going to be wiped out. Does that sound familiar right now? Because if the left were to get in, what would happen? The church, the freedom of this nation would be wiped out. Do you see a resemblance? But what happened? They fasted and prayed. America's fasted and prayed. Still didn't look like anything had changed. But Esther had that banquet. And she told the king the plan. And what happened? The king, he turned the authority he had given Haman, he changed it. And he gave it to Mordecai. Lauren, go to 8:1-2, I think it is. And on the same day, the king gave the property of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. Then Mordecai was brought before the king. For Esther had told the king how they were related. And the king took off his signet ring, which had been taken back from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai to be in charge of Haman's property. That's what's going to happen in America. I don't care what it looks like. God's going to take what they think is they're in power now. God's taken that away from them. It don't matter what it looks like. But what matters is what God's word says. Are we going to be the Esthers, or are we going to be the ones like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? If they would have bowed down, they wouldn't have been like anybody else. They'd been like everybody else, I mean. Esther, Haman was talking about how the Jewish people didn't obey the laws of the world. Church ain't supposed to obey the laws of the world either. Now, I'm not saying go against it, but when they try to shut the church up, when they try to mandate things, to close freedom of religion, freedom of speech down, they're going to say, and they're already saying, they don't live like us. What do they think? They're better than we are? Yeah. It's what we're supposed to be. We're the light of the world. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the salt of the world. We're supposed to preserve it. And the people are supposed to see a light in darkness. So the same thing that happened with Abraham Lincoln that's happening today? Well, you think, you know, you could say, well, I don't know if I can buy that Queen Esther deal. That's in the Bible. That's Jewish people. That don't have anything to do with America. Well, it's already happened in America too. And God turned it around. Because in Abraham Lincoln's day, they tried the exact same thing. But you know what happened? Just like Haman's plot was found out, so was the plot against Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln was a two-term president. He got killed, you know, but he was elected two terms. God has said more than once that what he has in store for America, it's going to take two terms of President Trump to do it. Why President Trump? Let me tell you something. President Trump, people say, well, I don't like President Trump because of his tweets. He's a worldly man. He may have been a worldly man, but you know what? In order to defeat the world, Moses, how did Moses lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? He was raised by the Egyptians. He knew the way they thought. I mean, why? When he went and the plagues, Moses knew that every plague that God put on the Egyptians worshipped. Well, duh. Trump's come out of the world. He may not be as godly as you want him to be, but he knows how they think. That's the reason the politicians don't like him. They can't buy him. So, is there a resemblance? Yeah. God chose, you know, and like I said before, I'll guarantee you Donald Trump wasn't God's first choice. But you know what? God found somebody that he could use in Donald Trump. And I'll tell you something else that I heard. I heard a prophecy come over that Melania has got that Queen Esther anointed. Because she goes before the king, which represents Donald Trump, and she's pleaded to the king for all the children. And because of the anointing, abortion will be overturned. And also, all of the girls and the kids that she's pulling out of sex trafficking, that's that an Esther anointing. God's got a plan for America. And it hasn't changed. When our forefathers planted the cross on the shores of America, and they declared that the gospel would go out of America like no other nation, they made covenant with God, and it's not changed. You know, God's not a man that he could lie. He wrote the end at the beginning. There's nothing impossible. With God, all things are possible. And what we have got to remember more than anything, when it looks hopeless, where's our hope? I mean, we're going into the Christmas season. Whenever Jesus was born, what did the angels say? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. When Jesus came to earth, peace entered the earth and goodwill towards all men. You know, here's what I pray. I pray that everyone that is trying to destroy America is saved. Because I know that it's God's will that there's not any that he wants to perish. But he wants them all to be saved. But you know, there's going to be people that are not going to be saved. There's going to be people who decide that, well, this I don't believe that. You know, and they're not going to give their lives to God. But you know, you can look at Haman's deal. But what Haman said, I'll give 10,000 sacks, big sacks of silver to kill, annihilate the Jewish people. Is there anything like that going on in Missouri? I mean, or in the nation? I mean, probably get banned, but George Soros has given many, many, many millions of dollars to try to destroy America, try to kill the church, try to kill a godly nation, try to impale the Christians on that 75-foot pole. Well, you know what? George Soros is the one that will be impaled. And his wealth, just like in Queen Esther's day, Haman's wealth came to Esther and Mordecai and the Jewish people. Don't give up. Because the Bible says the wealth of the wicked are what? Stored up for the righteous. See, the devil, everything he does, he tries to do it to discourage us and make us feel hopeless, like there's no hope. But you know what? We got to stand our ground. We never give in. We fight till the end. And here's the thing. It's not about, you know, I heard Dutch Sheets say that there was a dream, and he was at a roulette table. And they spent it. He said the whole crowd was hollering, red 45. Red 45. And he said, no, not red 45. Red 21. They said, no, red 45. And he said, no, red 21. And he said, the Lord showed me it's not about Donald Trump. Because if we put our faith in Donald Trump, we're putting our faith in man. Red 21 represents 2021. What we're fighting for is 2021. We're not fighting for Donald Trump, but we're fighting for godly values to be in this nation in 2021. That's how we got to say. We don't pray. I mean, we pray for Donald Trump because right now that's the godly man that's put in the position to get there. But it's not about Donald Trump. It's about 2021 and this nation remaining a godly nation and not going left, not going to socialism. Like I told a lady in Texas, I said, you can vote your way into socialism, but you got to shoot your way out of it. And see, that's what they're trying to steal it, because you can say the millennials voted that way. Well, some of them may. But if the true facts are known, Donald Trump won in a landslide. The thief comes to steal. That's all he's trying to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. And what's it say when you catch the thief? He has to repay seven times. So the thief has been caught. So don't get all worked up if something comes up. You know, people think that was the answer. God's the answer. And what we do is we remain faithful. If we don't know how to pray, pray in the Spirit. And the God's got this, but He needs the body of Christ to do their part. And too many times in this nation, the body of Christ is set on their hands and not did what they're supposed to do. Because Haman, you know how he came in power? Because when the Jewish people or the Israelites took over some nation, I can't remember, they were supposed to kill all of them. And Haman was one they left alive. You see, the body of Christ, the Israelite people allowed the Hamans. And that's what the body of Christ has done. We've allowed this to happen. But it's not too late. It's never too late. But we have got to stand our ground. We've got to have faith in what God's Word says. God, I don't know. I don't know. Have any idea how you're going to do it. But you said you would. So that's good enough for me. You know. And I'll go to 2 Chronicles, Lauren, 20:20. It said, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. Let's leave that up there, Lord. That's what God's saying to us. Listen to me, all you people of America. Believe me. And believe what I've told my prophets, and you will be able to stand firm. Whenever we have faith, that's how we stand firm, and we're not moved by every wind of doctrine. That's why it's so important for us to read the Word. That's why it's so important for us to confess the Word. Because if we don't, it's easy to be swayed. So, believe his prophets and you will succeed. You know, it's like the text I sent, I think it's some part of this. We were all created to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Are we living like ambassadors? Are we doing what God's called us to do? You see, ambassadors, what do? They enforce the kingdom that they represent. Because if you go to any other country and you go to the American embassy, the American embassy's laws is what goes in the embassy. So that's why if an American is in another country and the country's trying to arrest them or what, if they can get to the embassy, they've got a chance. That's what the body of Christ needs to know. The kingdom of heaven is the law that we're under. It don't matter what it looks like. It don't matter how dark the kingdom that we're maybe in looks. We stay in that kingdom like the American embassy. And why is America hated so bad? Why is Israel hated so bad? Because one nation was created by God and the other nation was created for God. That's why the devil's doing everything he can do to try to destroy America. You know, that's what it's all about. The devil is trying to destroy. Here's the thing. Whenever Winston Churchill was talking about never, never, never give up, I didn't quote it all, but what he said at the end, if need be, America will come and fight for us. Well, you know what? If America goes down, there's no nation to fight for godly principles. That's why it's important for us to stand firm. That's why it's so important for us to never give up. You know, Jake and I went, and Sam went to the national finals. And, you know, they got this mask mandate all over the place, you know. And anybody that knows me knows how I feel about the mask. But I had to wear it to get in the gate. So I pulled up my wild rag and I went through some the metal detectors. As soon as I got in there, I just pulled her down. They said I had to have my mask up to go through it. Then I had to have my mask up to get in to the Globe Life Field. Well, I put my mask up. As soon as I walked by her, I pulled my mask down. You know what? There's a lot of people in there that didn't have masks on. This mask deal, you know, I heard a guy at my dad's visitation say wearing a mask is kind of like standing on one side of a chain link fence hoping the gnats don't come through it. When you get to thinking about it, it's ridiculous. What it is the government is trying to get the American people to submit to what they say. I can't understand why churches are still closed down. I can't understand why they say you can only have so many. Not here. Come on, we'll fill you up. I ain't worried about it. Because here's the deal. We have a First Amendment right, and then we have a Second Amendment right to protect the First Amendment right. You're not going to take my rights away from me. That's why I tell people, it ain't about wearing the mask. It's about your screwing with my Constitution. That's what they're doing. They're trying to program America. Because, and you know, it's just like I seen a cartoon where their sheep was going off a cliff and they just kept falling off, and this one sheep said, "This don't, oh, it'll be all right, just keep following them." Well, don't just follow to be followed. I remember when I was a kid, mom and dad say, "Well, if so-and-so jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff?" But, I mean, the parents say that anymore? Because I heard that quite a bit. But, you see what I'm saying? It's time to buck the system. It's not about Republican or Democrat. It's about godly values and ungodly values. It's about godly principles and ungodly principles. And you know what? That I believe that the church, the pastors that don't teach about the godly values and the ungodly values against abortion, against gay rights, they're going to be responsible for their congregation. You know, it's like I told somebody, I said, "I've worked cattle all my life." And I said, "I've never worked cattle without getting cow manure on it." Well, sometimes you're going to smell like crap. But you know what? You gotta get, in order, if you're gonna be a shepherd, you're gonna smell like a sheep. You know what I'm saying? There's not one cattle person that I know that don't smell like a cowman. You know, Ray Wilson, he'd always say, "Well, that smells like money to me." You know? But see, that's like, that so many pastors are afraid that, well, I gotta be politically correct. No? I need to be spiritually correct. And that's what you need to be. Spiritually correct. My opinion don't matter, and neither does yours. What matters is God's opinion. If you don't want to know what God thinks, don't ask me about it. But don't you try to push your agenda down my throat. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's wrong with the church today. They think, well, God said to be humble. He didn't say to be humble. But he didn't say let people run over you. You know what it means to be humble? To ask God for advice on how to walk this life out. It's not about being, well, just let people run over you. No, it's about saying, "God, this is what your word says. I don't know how it's going to work out." And we as people, we've been taught, well, you can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. Well, you can. But it may not be God's will. But you know what? Your life will be a lot easier when you do what God's called you to do. You know, every one of us has been created for a purpose. You know, like Jake, for example, he told me the other day, he said, you know, he not to brag on him, but he was an all-state basketball player. And he played some college basketball, but he said, "You know, I wished I'd have rodeoed when I was a kid. More, you know." And I said, "Well, what would you have done about this, or what you done about that?" But see, here Jake's like me. All my life as a little kid, all I wanted to do was be a cowboy. My dad wanted me to be a professional baseball. I remember whenever I was out of high school, they said, "That's not no living. You need to go to college." Well, I had a good mom and dad, but they was trying to make me what they wanted me to be. You know what? I went one semester of college, hated every minute of it. Quit college, and what'd I do? I went back to what I wanted to do. And that's the thing. I'm still doing what God called. God created me the way he created me, for a purpose. I can reach people that nobody else can reach. And there's a lot of people I probably turn off. But you know what? He put me here to reach somebody. He put you on this earth to reach somebody. So be yourself. Don't try to be what people want you to be. Be what God created you to be. And don't be concerned about what people think. Because you were created for a purpose. And there's not one person in here that is not unique and created with greatness in mind. So just remember, don't give up. I don't care what it looks like. Don't give up. You know, and it's like when we went to the national finals, there's one boy, and he won the all-around. His name's Stetson Wright. I think he's 19, 20 years old. And I was watching him last night, and he was on a saddle bronc horse, and he looked like he was throwed off. But you know what? He didn't give up. And you know what happened? He won. So what's going to happen if you don't give up? Every one of you were created to be champions. Like I was telling Larry, you know what the definition of a champion is? A champion is someone who impacts someone's life that they come in contact with for the positive. That's what you were created to be, a champion. And you're supposed to create champions. You know, that's why the body of Christ is so important. That's why the devil is trying to destroy it right now. Because if he can, like I told you about the horses that we castrated, that one horse that got pulled away from the herd got devoured by the coyote. But the one horse that stayed with the herd was all right. And that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to pull you away from the herd because your protection is the body of Christ. You're the family of God. So don't let the devil trick you into running away. Because here's the thing. If you screwed up, God knew you was probably going to screw up anyway. And you know, talk plain to him. I mean, he knows what you're thinking anyway. I mean, that's what some of the stuff I say, people say, well, I can't believe he said it. Well, God knew what I was thinking anyway. I might as well say it. You know what I'm saying? So here's the thing. Don't ever give up. You're the apple of God's eye, and everything he's got in store for you is the very best. So, Lauren, just turn on something. If anybody needs prayer for anything, you can come up. And if not, just while this, whatever she's going to play, while it's playing slow, just thank him for everything you got. All the songs, thank him for what God is doing in this nation. Thank him that America will be and will remain a godly nation.